the internet.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 17 days away from the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. For the second consecutive Olympics, a refugee Olympic team will be represented at the International Sports Jamboree. The 29-member refugee Olympic team for Tokyo includes 10 athletes originally from Africa. Magume Davis Rakawinj joins us now from Kampala, Uganda. And Magume tells us about a coach and runner on the team from South Sudan.
When South Sudanese refugee Paulo Amutun Lokolo fled conflict from the country's western Equatorial state to Kenya in 2006, little did he know he would participate in international sports. He loved football, a game usually played with fellow refugees at Kakuma refugee camp. But all this changed when he was encouraged to participate in a peace-building marathon organized by UNHCR and Kenya's Tigran Lupe, an Olympian and a former marathon world record holder.
I didn't have that idea or that psychology of being in front or being behind, but I was just, my aim was only to follow the people who were going in front of me. Then I see seven guys that are in front of me. Then I say, okay, let me follow them behind. I follow them as they're starting to go in, so I found some guys that are, then I read them. And I still keep on going, running until I find all those guys.
He eventually settled for a 1500 meters category. Paulo is among six refugees that will be returning to compete at the World Olympics, having participated at the Rio Olympics. Another South Sudanese refugee that will be returning to the Olympics is Matthew Lam, who is now part of the coaching staff for refugee athletes in Kenya. He says he's glad to be able to share his experience with fellow refugees.
I'll be cheering for my team, a team that I was part of, and I'm still part of, the refugee team. We believe they are the best guys because, you know, they have the courage to start running. They are the world class, you know, running with the best in the world. So I'll be chairing them. I'm the team assistant for the refugee team in Tokyo. So I'll be helping them in all those things they want to. I see them, they need help.
The selection of the refugee team for Tokyo was based on the athlete's sporting performance and the refugee status as confirmed by the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, and also a balanced representativity in terms of sport, gender, and regions. IOC President Thomas Bach said it is important to have refugees participate at the Olympics because it will send a powerful message of solidarity, resilience, and hope to the world. Robin Toskin is a sports editor at Kenya Standard Group.
For the refugees to participate at the Olympics, it is really an important step towards integrating those refugees who are living outside their countries. And it was not because of their making, but because of other forces that are beyond their reach.
Paulo says, although he's glad to be settled in Kenya, he believes one day peace will reign back in South Sudan, so he can then fly the South Sudanese flag at the international competitions like the Olympics.
Now I'm outside my country, but what I can say, one day, one time, so when our country settled down, so maybe I'll go back and represent my country.
The 29 refugees competing at this year's Olympics are from Afghanistan, Cameroon, DR Congo, Republic of Congo, and Eritrea. Others are from Iraq, Syria, Venezuela, South Sudan, and Sudan. They will compete in different categories such as swimming, athletics, badminton, boxing, canoeing, cycling, judo, karate, shooting, taekwondo, weightlifting, and wrestling. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakalinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. Another athlete training for the Tokyo Olympics is the Kenyan Julius Yego, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist and the African record holder in the men's javelin. Prince Nesta asked Julius about his Olympic preparations.
Preparation is going on well. We're happy that we are almost there, having lost last year due to COVID issues. But I'm excited to go back to another Olympics. So it's fun. It's fun. Training is okay. I think I'm almost there. By the time we reach Olympics, I'm sure I will be ready.
Last year, COVID left a mess. How was it with you? I mean, did it affect your plans?
Yeah, of course. You know, having the whole year out without any competition was something which has never happened before. But we have to accept it anyway. It affected everybody else. Of course, major issue was the Olympics getting postponed. You know, that preparation mood for a major championship, we lost it because we knew that the whole year we will not be able to have the Olympics. We had some other competitions to compete in, but then with the issue of travels and all that, for me, I didn't compete anywhere last year. And I think it really affected even like picking up the form on time. I think it really affected me, but I'm happy, I'm healthy now and going on with my training well. And hopefully I'll have a very good competition in Tokyo.
You've talked about you're happy, you're healthy now. So just to confirm that, are you in shape or do you have any sort of injury concerns?
Luckily, I thank God because I don't have any issues with injuries now. And I'm happy, that is the most important thing. And for the form, I think I'll be able to pick up form sooner before the Olympics because, you know, having also not competed on many competitions this year, I'm sure as I continue to do my training, of course, the form will be there. I feel okay. I feel ready. I feel my body is again coming up. I can really push hard. So I'm happy, I'm healthy. And when you are healthy, that is the most important part of it. So I'm looking forward to competing in Tokyo.
I think you posted this and there have been reports in the media that you have been training without a coach. Have you found a coach already?
Still waiting. I was told yesterday that they will sort out the issue. So I'm waiting to see tomorrow if my coach will join me. But you know, sometimes, again, it's difficult with this issue of corona, the protocols he has to follow before he's allowed to come and coach me. You know, it takes time, but I hope they will sort out the issue sooner or later because now we're going to a very big championship. You know, Olympics is a very big championship and you need somebody who is watching on you to correct you if you are making mistakes technically, because that is the most important part of it. Like the whole of this week, when I was doing my throws, I was feeling like I missed something, you know? So I needed someone to correct me and tell me, this is what you miss. You're missing some part of the technique. So I need somebody who is watching me. So I'm happy my coach came here on yesterday. We met, we talked, and we're still waiting to get communication from the Federation and, of course, the National Olympic Committee concerning the issue. The ministry guys called me yesterday. Even one of them visited me and asked me about the issue. And he told me that the issue will be sorted out because it was brought to the attention of the Cabinet Minister for Sport. So hopefully they will deal with that issue by tomorrow.
As usual, if they do not deal with the issue, you're not called Mr. YouTube Man for no reason. You always have YouTube to back you up. And, you know, is YouTube still giving you inspiration as far as your techniques are concerned?
Yeah. Of course, you know, everybody else watch YouTube. But then, you know, they start, you know, the coach mentality and the coach presence for any athlete. When the coach is present there, he can push you to go, you know, to dig deeper. When you are alone, sometimes when you get tired, you can give yourself, let's say, okay, I'm tired, I can rest. But when you have somebody who is checking on you, you know, he can understand that you can still go deeper on your workout. So I need that somebody who can push me. Yes, I can push myself, but it reaches a point whereby I can't be able to push myself. I need someone to push me. So that is why I need a coach.
So there's going to be some elite runners who are going to be representing Kenya. You are part of them. Eliud Kipchoge is going to be representing Kenya in the marathon. Hellen Obiri is also going to be representing Kenya in the long distances. How would you rate the preparations of the Olympics team, you being part of them?
To me, I think the team is fine. You've seen even in the Diamond League of late that they have been doing so well. So I'm happy when you have such a team, you know, to carry that flag for Kenya in front of the superstars is a big honor. And my team, it's ready. My team is ready. And I promise that, you know, Kenyans and everybody else that will be cheering us, that, you know, I'm sure the performance we will have in Tokyo will be a good performance. We expect to get a lot of medals. And, you know, I know it's a very difficult competition, but we have strong team. I'm sure we will do so well. We will collect a lot of medals there. That is my prayer and hope. And I'm sure many Kenyans, wherever they are playing for us, so we won't disappoint.
You've won the Commonwealth Games. You've won the African Games. You've won the World Championship. The only thing that is missing from your trophy cabinet basically is the Olympic gold medal, that is. What will it take for you to bring home the Olympic gold medal?
For me, I think what will make me to win that medal is a good mindset before that competition. And of late, you've seen big throws coming from the German. Johannes Feder has been doing amazingly for the last year, and this year he's been doing so well. But this is a championship. This is a different one from the Diamond League and all that. But with due respect, of course, he is a super talented athlete. But to me, I'm going to Olympics focusing on winning the gold medal. And winning the gold medal means I have to throw far. I have to set my mind that I need to throw over 90 meters for me to get the chances of winning a gold medal. At the moment, you can't throw it less than 90 and expect a gold medal. It's difficult. It's difficult, yeah. So I'm going there with a mind of winning the title, and throwing over 90 meters is what is in my mind at the moment, because less than that, and then no chance of winning that. So I'm just, you know, putting my mind that I need to throw over 90 meters.
If you win the gold medal, what will it mean for you, and what will it also mean for the African continent?
To me, that is a special moment. To win an Olympic gold medal is a special moment for me. Like, I've been dreaming to win a gold medal in the Olympics, because this is an event which comes after every 4 years. So it's a very big span of time. And sometimes you might be in good form and, you know, the Olympics is not there. So you have to wait for 4 years. And to me, if I win this gold medal, it's a special one to me, because it's a dream I've been having, like to win a gold medal in an Olympics. And to African continent, of course, it's where, you know, we're not known to be good in this thing. We have not been doing so well in the past. But as I think since 2014 until now, we've been doing well. Remember, we had the Egyptian before the doping issue came up. But I think if I win this one, it will be a special moment for Africa that we are capable of doing this. Not only in long distance, we are capable of doing this in the sprints, in the field events. So, and it will be a wake-up call to, you know, the top management of sports in Africa, especially athletics, that we need to diversify our sport. We don't only dwell on a long distance, especially East Africa, we're known for long distance running. So if we invest in these field events, we are capable of winning. Remember when we came the top at the World Championship in 2015, the medal which made Kenya win was the gold medal from me and the gold medal from, the late Bates in the adults. So you see, it was a special moment. We never depended only on the long distance, the 800, the 1500, but it was a mix of, events that made us to win. So for Africa, it will be a special moment. And it's an eye opener that we can do again in the other events other than the long distances.
That's Julius Yago, Kenya's 2016 Olympic silver medalist in the men's javelin. And Julius was talking with Prince Nesta from Kenya. And we'll hear more from Julius and Prince ahead of the Tokyo Olympics. Meanwhile, we heard Julius Yago talking about lacking a coach in his Olympic training. Julius announced Monday he was stepping down as Team Kenya's athletics captain for the Tokyo Games, saying the environment wasn't favorable for him to lead. Eunice Sum, Kenya's 2013 World 800 Meters champion, has replaced Julius Yago as the athletics team captain for the Tokyo Olympics.
Hi, my name is Julius Yago, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
I'm Hayley Adams. Join me for the next Straight Talk Africa, where we'll continue our in-depth look at the lives of those who have had to flee their homes and start over elsewhere. And we'll bring you part two of VOA's new documentary, A Day in the Life of Refugees. Join me on Wednesday at 18:30 UTC for the next Straight Talk Africa.
This is Natasha Cummings Price, head coach for the International Women's Basketball Team of Cameroon and the Erie Community College Women's Basketball Coach. You are listening to Sunnyside Sports on the Voice of America.
The National Basketball Association Finals tip off later Tuesday night in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. That's where the Phoenix Suns will host the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. Now, the teams played twice during the regular season, with Phoenix winning both games. However, both games were decided by a single point. The head coach of the Suns is Monty Williams.
I mean, it's the finals. You know, you expect their best, and we hope to counter that with our best. We've watched all the games that we played against them in the regular season, and they were highly competitive games. Every possession mentality is going to be something that both teams are probably going to be locked into, but it's the finals. Like, it's the most competitive basketball you're going to see, and we embrace that.
Phoenix coach Monty Williams was asked what stood out to him about the two regular season games with the Bucks.
And they're just big. You know, that's one thing that stands out is their size. You know, with Lopez, Giannis, Portis, those are big, strong, physical guys. And then they have big guards. And then they've added Tucker, who's a big, strong, versatile defender. You know, so the physicality probably is the one thing that stood out. And so we have to do a really good job of, you know, boxing those guys out, being physical when they try to, you know, limit our screens and take us out of our screening angles. We've got to own our space. So to answer your question, the physicality is something that probably stood out in both games. It was consistent in both.
Coach Monty Williams and the Suns will have had 6 days off after beating the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals last week, 4-2. The Bucks, meanwhile, will have less than 72 hours to travel and prepare after eliminating the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals, 4-2. Milwaukee's head coach, Mike Budenholzer, comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really players for sure. And I think the whole organization, the front office, coaches, the owners, you know, take a second and enjoy this. This doesn't happen very often. It's special. And then, you know, we've had kind of long extended pauses in between each round, and kind of excited to try it without one. You know, maybe we can be the team that's, you know, in a rhythm and all that. And after game one, I'm sure we'll talk about which was better, rest or rhythm and all that. So, but it's a quick turn, but, you know, we'll be ready.
The Bucks are ready to play in the NBA Finals for the first time since 1974. The Suns, meanwhile, reached the NBA Finals for the first time since 1993. Phoenix is bidding for its first NBA championship, While Milwaukee won its only NBA title 50 years ago in 1971 when Hall of Fame players Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, and Bobby Dandridge were on the team. The best player on the modern Bucks is two-time league most valuable player Giannis Antetokounmpo, who hyperextended his left knee against the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Giannis's health status is still uncertain, so we'll have to wait and see about his availability during the NBA Finals. In more basketball news, the American head coach of Nigeria's national men's team, Mike Brown, is expected to name his 12-man roster for the Olympics on July 17th. The team has been training in California. To find out more about the Nigerian team's Olympic preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a basketball statistician and administrator, Obande Ogbole.
Concerning the male basketball team that will be representing us at the Tokyo Olympics, 49 players were invited to camp. First court, 25th of June, the first court. Then on the 2nd of July, second court. So the team now stands at 15, although there will be a final court before out. Now, for at the time when the team was invited, it was going to be a bit of a bother for Coach Mike Brown. But now they're down to 15, so I think it's a more manageable number.
Do you see the final 12 players selected for the Tigers giving a good account at the Tokyo Games?
Yes, at the Olympics, because of the talent available to us, and if I use the words of Coach Mike Brown, he says that in his words, he said there is no way, shape, or form that we should be ranked 22nd or 23rd in the world, not with the talent that's out there. Yes, there's talent out there, no doubt, but it's whether we're going to be able to wheel them into the formidable unit that will accomplish the purpose for which the team was assembled in the first place. Because while we're on this thing, yes, we want to give a good account of ourselves, probably get onto the medals table. But I don't know. It looks like a tall order now, because most other countries have assembled the teams, have the final rosters have been made out, and they're working on melding them, which is we don't really have that at our disposal now.
Are there new names or outstanding players that made it to camp? And do you see such players as game changers?
There are new players, yes. I don't know who has been caught, so I may not be able to say much. I can say there is from the NBA, we have new guys that have come in. I don't know if any of them was caught. Then there's the standing team that did appreciably well at the last World Championship. So we may. I'm a Nigerian. My heart says get on the roster. But with the structure we have on ground, I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything outstanding. But I hope we'll be able to do that. Incidentally, Mike Eric, who was one of the standouts at the World Championship, will not be participating in this event because of health issues, COVID health issues. So he did very well, but we're down now with somebody who was a standout on that team. I don't know, but I really hope that we're able to, in time, to get in some warm-up games so that we can assess the 12 that will be going on to Tokyo. But I really hope that we give a good account of ourselves.
That's Obande Ogbole, a basketball statistician and administrator. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Obande Ogbole, a statistician, basketball administrator. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Obande.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic and Swiss ace Roger Federer are through to the quarterfinals at Wimbledon, but 17-year-old American Coco Gauff, who has been described as a possible future Wimbledon champion, has been eliminated. The AP's Graham Agars reports on Monday's Wimbledon results.
Gauff lost 6-4, 6-4 to former world number one Angelique Kerber.
It was definitely super windy today. You can tell by my skirt was flying a little bit. But yeah, I would say towards like the third or fourth game, I think we both started to get comfortable with it.
Keys was upset in straight sets by Victoria Gulabic from Switzerland. Korda lost a heartbreaker 10-8 in the fifth set to the hard-hitting Karen Khachanov, but there were no problems for the two top seeds, with Novak Djokovic and Ash Barty both advancing, and Roger Federer kept alive his hopes of a possible final showdown with Djokovic with a straight sets win of his own. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. The world champion U.S. women's national soccer team warmed up for the Tokyo Olympics Monday night with a 4-0 victory over visiting Mexico in a friendly match played in the eastern U.S. city of East Hartford, Connecticut. The American women will go to Japan riding a 44-match unbeaten streak. Carly Lloyd scored one of the four goals Monday night on a diving header. It was her 126th international goal. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports Olympic profile, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more about Carly Lloyd. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Carly Lloyd is no stranger to the Olympics. Lloyd scored goals at the Beijing Games in 2008 and the London Games in 2012. She described to Reuters News how it feels to represent the United States again at the Olympic Games in Tokyo.
You know, it never gets old hearing congratulations, you're going to Tokyo type thing. Was extremely honored, grateful. And, you know, I think it's just great to know that the roster has been named, and, you know, you can just kind of now take a deep breath and just focus all your energy on just doing everything possible to help the team win this gold medal. That's the biggest thing, and it's going to take all 18 players to get this job done.
Lloyd's road to the upcoming Olympics hasn't always been smooth. In 2019, she was outspoken about her frustration with then national team head coach Jill Ellis after Lloyd was downsized to the role of substitute during the 2020 World Cup tournament in France. A snub, the 38-year-old believes, was based on her age and not her ability.
I think the biggest thing for me, you know, in prepping for that 2019 World Cup was I just felt as if I never had an opportunity to prove myself. I came back from an ankle injury in 2017 that I sustained with the Houston Dash in the NWSL. I was out for a bit. I came back and, you know, I just saw the writing on the wall. I felt like I was sort of being lumped in the Christy Pierce Rampone and Abby Wambach category of, you know, what am I going to be like in 2 years in 2019 World Cup? Instead of what is Carly like right now, my biggest thing is just be so good they can't ignore you.
She hopes to be remembered for her age-defying talent on the pitch.
I didn't want things to be based on my age. I didn't want people to sit here and feed off of this nonsense that wasn't true, that I'm too old, I can't play 90 minutes, because here we are, I'm almost 39 years old, and I'm playing 90 minutes. I'm fit. I'm one of the fittest on the team. I'm thankful that I've got a coach who isn't using my age against me, and he's giving me a fair shot.
Well, Carly Lloyd will have her shot along with the rest of the U.S. women's soccer team for a fifth Olympic gold medal. The women are in Group G and will face Sweden in their opening match, followed by New Zealand and Australia. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the July 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.